News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, America, or at least as much of it as we reach. It is Saturday, the 21st of September, Anno Domini 2002. You are listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be taking your calls at the numbers you just heard. But first, the news. And we'll start with Steve, since he's not ready.
This is what
we learn in teacher school.
Apple this week released iCal software. It's an internet calendar, free download for OS 10.2. It lets you do calendaring and scheduling on your own computer. But the really neat part is if you're a .Mac subscriber, you can publish your calendar to the internet, and anyone else on the internet can subscribe to your calendar and see what your schedules are, and you can even allow them to post events to your schedule. If they are also using iCal on OS 10.2, they can get into the iCal software and subscribe. Otherwise, they can subscribe through a web interface. So it's going to be a pretty interesting piece of software. And it also continues to add value. I'm turning into my salesman speak now.
Yeah, right.
Continues to add value to the .Mac initiative. There's been a lot of criticism from Apple.
That was very mature.
Yes, I can turn into my radio voice at any moment. Give me that news here. I'll read the news all right.
Hit him with something. Quick.
Ooh, he picked up his soda.
And you're on the other side of the board, so you're in safe striking distance.
There was a lot of criticism against Apple when they discontinued the free iTools software that lets you get free email and started releasing the .Mac for $100 a year. .Mac has a lot of additional features beyond the email that iTools gave you, including backup and antivirus software. And Apple announced this week that 100,000 people have now paid for and subscribed to .Mac. So the story running around the net now is that instead of 2.5 million freeloaders on iTunes draining Apple's resources and bandwidth, they now have 100,000 people paying for it.
They're right.
So that's a good thing in business terms.
I guess it is. I guess it is. And Steve, you have, you'll be Dave.
Yeah, I'm going to be
Dave. Okay, from now on, when we say Dave, we mean you, and Steve, we mean him.
You sure about that?
That's the way we're going to play it for the rest of the day.
That works.
Why don't you just read the news while
all right, I'll let you just mellow out over there. Microsoft just launches a new broadband hardware line of equipment. What they're trying to do is, like many other products, get into the wireless network and just generally networking and bundle it all into the whole Microsoft experience. At Demo Mobile in South Carolina, Microsoft Thursday took the wrappers off an anticipated line of broadband networking hardware designed for home users. Granted, you know, this is growing more and more now. The average home just doesn't have one computer. They're finding that, you know, this child or the adults all need their own system. So, and with older homes, it's kind of hard to, you know, run all these wires and everything else. So they're coming out with a whole line of wireless computers, cards, and hubs to make life easier for the home experience and networking.
It's the wireless print servers that are expensive. It's like $300 for a wireless print server. So it's usually cheaper to buy the $50 printer, hook it to your computer, and serve it out.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Speaking of Microsoft, as you may know, Microsoft has released Service Pack 1. When they did, they said that they have met the last of the milestones laid out in the antitrust settlement with the federal government. Those of you who've been paying attention know that the federal government has declared Microsoft an illegal monopoly and asked them to come into compliance with the laws of the United States of America. Microsoft says that with Service Pack 1, they have now done this. However, a group of the company's critics complain that Microsoft is not, in fact, living up to the terms of the deal. In a letter sent both to the Justice Department and New York State's great Attorney General, Elliot Spitzer, Pulitzer. The project to promote competition and innovation in the digital age, which is a lobbying group with ties to Microsoft's competitors, said the moves the software giant has made so far have been inadequate and incomplete. They urged the Justice Department to challenge Microsoft's filing in late August that it was in full compliance with the settlement provisions. The group highlighted six areas in which it feels Microsoft is in violation of one section of the agreement, but turned its focus on Microsoft's recently released Service Pack 1. Upon close examination of Service Pack 1 for Windows XP and Service Pack 3 for Windows 2000, they said, it cannot be argued that Microsoft made even a good faith effort to comply with the letter, not to mention the spirit of the settlement. Microsoft's officials dismissed the letter as posturing. So we'll see where that takes us. Before we get to the phones, I do want to thank our very good friends at Bill Gray's.
Yeah, slurp right into the microphone there.
That's exactly it. The world's greatest cheeseburger for the world's greatest computer show. And while we enjoy the last of the largesse, we are going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, Rob, and me, Nick, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
How do successful business people stay successful? By always looking for ways to serve their customers better. That's why Gene Mazzola from Mazzola Insurance turned to Roadrunner Business Class.
Our whole claim to fame at Mazzola Insurance is the ability to provide quotes at a very, very fast rate. Roadrunner helps us do this. We're growing so quickly because of Roadrunner.
Mazzola Insurance switched to Roadrunner Business Class, and they're glad they did.
I heard that Roadrunner Business Service was so good from all of the people that I do business with that that's where we went, and we're very satisfied.
Now, you know, with Roadrunner Business Class, you can get help from a real live person 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Gene, what about cost?
One of the important things about running a business is that you've got to run a tight ship. Roadrunner Business Class service and its very reasonable cost fits right within our budget.
Why don't you get connected to Roadrunner Business Class today? Call 1-866-756-FAST.
Roadrunner really does its job. Roadrunner gives us the edge over our competition.
Shepherd Ford has been keeping their promises for over 50 years. We offer more than just a lot packed with new and used cars and trucks. Shepherd Ford can offer outstanding rebates and those unbeatable prices you are looking for. But most importantly, Shepherd Ford is known for our personalized attention. We take care of our customers. So when you're ready for great service and great prices, you're ready for Shepherd Ford. Shepherd Ford, 50 years of selling Fords, 50 years of doing it right. Routes 5 and 20 in Canandaigua.
What could be better than XM's 100 digital channels, many commercial-free, playing coast-to-coast for less than $10 a month? How about those same channels of music, news, sports, and talk installed for free at your local Best Buy in Circuit City? Don't miss out, because your last chance to get free installation ends September 30th. Visit Best Buy or Circuit City today. Beyond AM, beyond FM. XM Satellite Radio. Required basic subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee also required. Free installation available for standard installations only.
Hello?
Hi, is this the North Point Oceanographic Institute?
Yes, it is.
And do you have shrimp there?
Yes, the Institute has several species of shrimp.
Okay, well, how much would you say 30 of your shrimp cost?
I'm not really sure.
Because right now, at Red Lobster, you can get 30 delicious shrimp for $9.99. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you can mix and match a whole plate full of savory scampi, shrimp pasta, and golden fried shrimp. Do you have anything like that at the Institute?
No.
30 scrumptious shrimp for $9.99. Now, at Red Lobster.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show. It's brought to you by the Element K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services. These guys know computers. They may not know anything else, but they know computers. They're Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
One thing you got to give our announcer, he does not lie. This is Soundbites, and I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And you are going to give us a call. Yes, you are. Gaze deeply into your radio. You will give us a call. And then look, some people have already done that. First, we have Daniel from Rochester. What's your question, Daniel?
Well, just to start off, I am one of the 100,000 .Mac subscribers.
There you go.
I have a PowerMac G4 867 megahertz that I use as a video editor. It has two 7,200 RPM, 60 gigabyte hard drives. I playback video from iMovie. I get an error that says, after about 3 or 4 minutes, that there's a problem with the drive speed. I know that I've run speed disk on the drives, and I know that there's nothing fragmented. And I'm wondering if it's, you know, if I need faster drives, if I have a software problem. I'm running Jaguar and the latest version of iMovie.
Are these both IDE drives?
They're both IDE drives. I think it's a 66 megahertz ATA bus on my iMac. I mean, on my G4.
Yeah, we've seen that with people trying to use external FireWire drives, which are pretty fast, but not as fast as the IDE bus. You said it's when you're playing the movie or when you're capturing the movie?
Capturing, I've never had any problems. It's when I edited pieces together and I'm playing it back to look at it before I export it to iDVD. And I haven't had any problem burning to iDVD. That works just fine.
Do you have problem playing it from the iDVD?
You know, I'm not sure. I haven't actually tried that.
That
might be something to try.
Yeah. What I'm wondering is if there's a problem with the playback software as opposed to anything else that's going on.
Right.
Yeah, because it's burning it okay.
How much free space do you have on your boot disk?
They're both 60 gig disks. I usually put the movie on the non-boot disk, and I usually try to keep about 30 gigabytes free on each disk.
And how much memory do you have?
1.5 gigs. And the video memory is 16.
I think he needs to drop that machine off at my house for a good year so I can check it out.
Really? 1.5 gig?
Carefully. Mm-hmm. A gig and a half of RAM, 260 gig. You need to drop that off at my house.
Do some serious testing.
That's why I think I shouldn't have any problem doing what I want.
Yeah, it sounds like you have all of the requirements exceeded for running the iMovie. How big a movie is it?
Maybe that's the issue. He's got too many.
The movie was a 20-minute movie. It took up the final movie on a DVD took up about 1.5 gigabytes. So it's not huge.
Especially if you got 30 gig free.
Yeah.
Well, it plays, the DVD plays fine on a regular DVD player, right?
Yeah, after I burn the DVD, there's no problem. And I can play the DVD no problem on my Mac. It's only inside of iMovie when I'm trying to preview it before I burn it.
How about inside of iDVD's preview mode where you're playing from iDVD before you burned it?
You know, I didn't try that, but I assume that that's going to be fine because that's basically just running QuickTime.
Because then you've either got a problem with iMovie.
Yeah, you're running the latest version of iMovie?
Yeah, I think it has to do something with iMovie, so I don't think... I mean, going to a SCSI drive or getting faster IDE drives isn't going to solve the problem.
The IDE should be fast enough.
Okay.
Are you running antivirus software?
Not on that. On that computer, there's nothing but video stuff.
The wrong answers, by the way, Daniel.
I just had a thought. It deals with the IDE channels. You've got both your drives on the same channel, right? One master, one slave.
Right.
That could be it. Move the movie to your boot drive so that your system software and the movie are running from the same drive. Because what happens with IDE is if it has to go to another drive on the same chain, it's got to shut the first one down to start up the second one.
Thought it would make it go faster.
To do that, you'd want the two drives on separate chains. But you also want to make the chain that contains your DVD burner is not on the same chain as the drive you're burning from.
Can you do that on a Mac?
Did that make sense?
Yeah, the hard drives are on one chain, the optical drives are on the other chain.
Right. That's completely separate.
Do you have the zip drive installed?
No.
You might want to try moving the second hard drive to the zip bay so it's on the second chain. But then the hard drive and the burner are on the same chain.
You don't want that either.
You don't want that either, yeah.
Actually, I'd be better off with the 120 megabyte drive.
Yeah, just get a single 120 gig. Yeah.
Drive instead of 260s.
Yeah, and send me the 60s.
Well, I have another machine I can put the 60 on.
Oh, well, all right, if you do.
Try moving so your system, iMovie, and all your movie files are on a single drive and see how that works.
Yeah, I just kind of thought it would make sense to have... unfortunately, read from one drive and write to the other.
Yeah, unfortunately, IDE doesn't work that way. IDE works well with one drive at a time.
Yep.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. Our next caller is Andy from Rochester. Welcome, Andy. What's your question?
Thanks, guys. I have a VPN set up at two locations of my small business, and I'm using Roadrunner for the internet connection, although it's not a static IP. They tell me it's a continuously renewing static IP unless I shut the modems down.
Right.
And I'm using the Linksys VPN routers.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm having trouble with is that it's I'm getting the IP is dropping some every once in a while between the modem and the router. So initially I had a DSL connection hooked up to that, and I switched it over to Roadrunner so both our stores are running on the same operator. I've spoken to Linksys maybe 20, 30 times. They're sending me out a new router because we figure maybe I just got a bum router. But now the same thing is happening over at my second location, and it's already happened like twice in the past few days where I'm not able to pull the IP from the modem, even though it's getting it correctly because I have... I've had a Roadrunner, you know, constantly ping my modem and do all the...
Yeah, is the modem on all the time, or is this after you've turned it off and back on, or that sort of fare?
No, modem's on 24/7.
And the router's on 24/7?
Yes.
Where physically are you?
I'm sorry?
Where are you located?
We're in Rochester. One is in Pittsburgh, one is in Greece.
Because there are continual problems with the Brighton router being overcrowded.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah.
But it's actually been in the Greece location that we were having the IP dropping every 4 or 5 days. And so they sent me on another router, which should get here in a couple of days. But now over the past few days, I've started having this happen here at our other location. And I can't imagine I have two bad routers.
It's unlikely, but it is very possible that you are somehow getting... when you renew the IP, it goes to a different
address.
What
type of routers are you using? The Linksys?
I'm using the Linksys routers, and when I'm able to reconnect them, and all I have to do is just unplug it and plug it right back in.
But to stay up reliably, Linksys, I know, has a VPN router. In other words, just using the standard router.
Well, he said he was using
the VPN router. I'm using the VPN routers from Linksys.
Okay. You may want to move up to a static address at each site.
Right. I was just about to say, the problem may be if you're not on the business class service, you're not getting a static IP.
Right, but my IP, even when I plug back in, I reboot everything, it's still the same IP.
Right, it had to get renewed, and that cuts the connection.
But I spoke to Roadrunner, and they told me that it never will cut the connection unless the modem is off.
Or something else inside their network hiccups.
Yeah.
Right, and I asked them what it could be. Is there anything? Are there any ports blocked? Are there any type of timeouts that they have? And they told me they have none. Because it is, even though it's not a static IP, it is a business account.
This happen? You're right. You have a business account without...
Without static IP.
Without static IP, okay. I hate to say it, but I think the answer is static IP.
Yeah.
But if you've... does this happen regularly, or is it irregular?
Actually, it was happening at our one location. It started happening regularly. And now at our second location, it just happened. It's been going... I've had it up for almost a month, and it just started happening about 4 or 5 days ago.
See, it sounds like at their end, and they don't want to admit it.
Even with DHCP, there's a lease time. I forget what it is.
Right.
You can set it.
Right. Well, from Roadrunner, you get your address.
No, they said it, I mean.
Right, they said it.
Yeah,
right. So when that lease expires, the DHCP server asks your router, do you still want this address again? And there might be a fraction of a second where there is no address.
Mm-hmm. Right, and if you're doing it right. So that's what I'm saying. If you get a static IP, then you won't have to worry about the lease time.
Right, but if it does, which I understand, but if going back to the scenario where the lease is over and it ends, asks the modem, does it still want it? And then the modem says yes, I could then, theoretically, then my router should not have an IP for a second, but it should re-pull the new IP or the same IP again.
Right.
But it's not doing. So even if it is a leased IP, my router...
Well, you might want to go into your routers and see if the timeout on the router is set too small.
There is no timeout on the routers.
For your LAN.
Right.
There's a lease timeout.
Right. There's a lease timeout there for internal.
Nothing for extra.
See, the problem is if you actually end up with a point at which the router is not getting IP, then it might drop the connection. And I thought there was a, because I'm not running one right here, of course. Well, there is one, but I don't know what the number is. I thought there was a place where you could tell it the length of time it would allow no IP to exist.
But I've spoken to Linksys many times, and I'll call them again on Monday.
When it does renew, do you get the same address back?
Yep.
But during during that brief
second,
the connection gets dropped.
Yep.
Well, the connection, I mean, I don't seem to lose the internet connection, just the connection between the modem and the router is dropped.
Well, that's enough to break everything up.
Have you talked to Roadrunner about a different modem?
They came out and they checked the modem and they checked all the outside wiring. And they said that there's nothing on their end because they did like a constant ping test to just check things.
Yeah, but I know, but that's not, But that's not what the problem is.
Since you are business class, they should offer you a higher level of service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what you want to do is ask them if, in fact, their modem is set, what the drop time on the modem is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before it says, you know what, I'm not getting any traffic here, I'm going to shut them down.
Okay.
That's all I can suggest at the moment. We have to take a break. I'm sorry. I wish I could give you a better answer. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton on the buttons, me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites at 1180 WHAM.
For all your computer needs, call Green Shield Computer Services toll-free at 1-800-544-9580. Located in Rochester at 1370 Hudson Avenue, just south of Route 104, Green Shield is a full-service computer firm that's been helping individuals and businesses since 1984. They'll build, install, maintain, and network both your home and work computers. Green Shield is open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 till 4. So, yeah, call them right now. That's right now at 1-800-544-9580. Green Shield can also provide your website development, hosting, email, and domain name registration. And Green Shield is an approved Corral Business Education, Government, and Legal Partner. Call them right now, toll free at 1-800-544-9580. That's 1-800-544-9580. Or you can send them an email to computers@greenshield.net. Remember the name, Green Shield Computer Services, part of the Green Shield Group, established in 1967.
Hey, Bob, it's noon. Let's go. Lunch, you know.
Can't. I need a new car, and I've got to get to John Holt's.
Are you nuts? You know how Niedermeyer is. 1 hour.
Relax. The pizza will be here in a half hour. I'm going online at johnholtz.com. And check it out.
Ah, 500 new cars to choose from. Acura, Audi, BMW, Honda, Land Rovers, Mazda, Mercedes-Benz, Porsche.
Uh-huh. And finding the car for you at johnholtz.com could never be easier. All I have to do is fill out these few lines. Boom. By this time tomorrow, I'll have an aggressive quote on the car I'm looking for.
But what if you don't want to buy new?
No problem. I click here, and johnholtz.com finds me the exact used car I'm looking for.
Wow. Year, make, model, color? Hey, do you think johnholtz.com could hook me up with that timeshare in the Cayman Islands?
John Holtz brings you the world, pal, not fantasies.
You always knew John Holtz could bring you the world, and he just found a way to do it so you don't even have to leave your house. It's all at johnholtz.com. All you have to do is shop, click, buy, and drive. All at johnholtz.com.
Tired of constantly having your computer lock up on you? Have you experienced the infamous blue screen of death? Or is your computer just running too hot? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need FrozenCPU.com. FrozenCPU.com, a local internet-based company specializing in customized PC cases and products for cooling your overheated computers. FrozenCPU.com, considered by many the mecca for modified cases and cooling products. They have a huge selection of some of the premium cases available, ranging from Cooler Master and Li & Li to their famous Blizzard system, as well as cutting-edge coolants water-cooled cases. FrozenCPU.com cases start at only $99. Including a 350-watt power supply. In addition to being your case headquarters, FrozenCPU.com also specializes in cooling your overheated computer. They carry top-of-the-line heat sinks like Thermalright, Alpha, SwiftTech, and all the fans you could ask for. FrozenCPU.com, your case and cooling system headquarters. Call FrozenCPU at 1-877-243-8266.
Contact the guys the old-fashioned way. Use your telephone and dial 222-1180 or the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Welcome back to Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Use the phone, Luke. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Wright.
I'm Rob Linton.
And you are listening to Sound Bites, the universe's longest running and best computer radio show. Our next caller, Carol, all the way from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Carol. What's your question?
Hi, how are you, Nick?
I'm peachy. How are you?
Fine. I got a question. Every time I turn on my computer and or reboot the machine, the first thing I see when my machine goes to the desktop is a Netscape program file page. It has four folders on it. And how do I get rid of that and just go to the regular desktop? I've tried everything, going into all the little folders in Netscape and everything, and I can't figure out how to turn that off.
It comes up with a browser screen.
Yeah, when I turn it on, instead of getting my desktop with all my icons on it,
yeah,
I get the program folder for Netscape.
The actual program folder.
Yes, sir.
There's a couple of things it could be. The first place to check is in your startup folder.
Okay.
You can put things in your startup folder that automatically open every time you start up.
Right.
And somehow the Netscape folder might have got put in there. The other thing is that it's supposed to remember what windows you had open when you shut down and then open the same windows again.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't always work very well. So one thing you can try to do is close that window and then hit F5, mm-hmm. which is supposed to refresh your view and save the current view.
Mm-hmm.
Click on the desktop first, then hit F5.
If I remember correctly, you got to hold down the control, hit F5, and that'll save it.
Try both.
One of those, yeah.
Certainly can't hurt to try both.
Say that again. I'm new to computers.
Do F5.
Yeah. Well, close the window.
Close the window first.
Okay, so I just have my desktop then. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Click on the desktop so you make sure that's what's selected.
Mm-hmm.
Hit F5.
Mm-hmm.
Then hold the control key and hit F5.
Uh-huh.
That'll save it.
The theory is that'll save the current state of the desktop so next time you boot up.
Yeah.
And you also have to make sure all those things are closed now the next time you shut down.
Yep.
Yeah, because this just happened recently because I upgraded from Netscape 6.2 to 7.0, and that's when it started.
Yep.
It may have put that in your startup folder for you, thinking, oh, she installed Netscape 7. She must want to use it all the time.
Well,
I'll open the window all the time.
Well, there's also some issues with the Netscape 7.0. I've been had a couple clients that had problem it not remembering all the folders. And it would lose all of a sudden all your email folders, your incoming, your outgoing, your trash,
yeah.
If you set up any others. And I've got to play around with it a little bit more,
yeah,
but
me
it's
too.
Been a little unstable.
One thing you want to do is look in your startup folder and see if the Netscape folder is there.
Okay, how do I get to the startup folder?
Hit the start button.
Okay.
From the start button, you want to see if it's there, go to programs,
mm-hmm.
and then go to startup. And you'll see the things that are listed there, and you just want to look and see if Netscape is in there.
Okay, now is that on top of all the other folders?
No, I'm sorry. If you hit the start button, it brings up a list, and one of the choices there is programs.
Okay.
The actual start menu.
If you hit that start button in the lower left corner.
Right. You go to all programs.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
You select that.
Yeah.
And then one of the choices there should be startup.
A folder that says startup.
I've got Windows XP, so.
Yeah.
Right. If you click the start button.
Right.
Go to
then
program.
Click all programs.
Okay, I'm in there now.
Then you have a list of some things maybe on the top like Windows.
Yeah.
There
I
you go, startup. And if you click on that.
It's not in there.
What is in there?
Black Ice Utilities, Cameo Viewer, Microsoft Office, and Microsoft Work Calendar Reminder. Those are the only four things that are in there.
Okay. Then your problem is most likely that whole background thing that we just discussed with the F5 and Control
okay.
F5.
I have to go back. I'm taping this thing, so I'll go back later and try to figure it out.
Perfect. Perfect. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Have fun.
Bye.
And remember, for those of you who did not get your tape recorder started in time, the Soundbites archives are available. Steve is recording the show even as we speak. And he will have it online next Friday, so you will be able to relive the joy that is Samba.
Well, we got one listener in Australia.
We have several listeners in Australia.
That like
a couple
listening.
Of them in England. We want to thank all Black and Tan and Shane in Australia. We want to thank MM in the UK, who, by the way, for those of you who've gone to the Soundbites forum, not only do we have some wonderful local folks who do some great support in the forums, but MM is frighteningly good, I have to say.
He's in what, in the UK?
He's in the UK. And for those of you who haven't, we'll be talking a little later about the forums and stuff like that. But we're going to go back to the phones now, and we are going to speak to Warren from Penfield. Welcome, Warren.
Well, good afternoon, everyone.
And good afternoon to you, too. What's
Hello,
your question?
Sir.
I have a couple of questions, if I may. We have an HP, new HP computer with XP, and I'm wondering, you gave me information once, and I don't have any more on how to do the email to double-click it so you don't have to preview it. And that was on Windows 98. And
you've got Microsoft Outlook?
Yes.
Open up Outlook.
Okay.
On the View menu.
A View, okay.
I believe one of the choices is
Layout.
Layout, okay.
And because I don't run Outlook, so I'm a little confused at the moment. Oh, but wait, I can start it up here, and we'll see if it starts quickly. And then, under Layout,
Outlook.
One of the choices.
What do you want?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Hello.
Yeah, one of the choices under Layout is the Preview pane.
Yeah,
right. You can uncheck that.
Check that.
Okay.
Chuck the whole program.
Yeah. Okay.
Seriously, the only reason that we're not big Outlook fans is because that's, by the way, 95% of all the viruses are transmitted.
Right, and that's one reason we recommend turning the preview pane off.
Right, that's what I found out when you did 98, you told us.
when you click on a message, it previews it at the bottom. If there is a virus in that message, the virus executes.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way to delete a message without seeing it. So when you turn that preview off, and then you know that it's junk mail or you think it might be a virus, you can delete the message without ever viewing it.
Right, and it depends on what version you're in of Microsoft Outlook as to where
it's probably
the
six.
Choice
six, yeah.
is, right, where the choice is to get rid of it. But it's under the View menu.
What's
somewhere.
Your other question?
How do I make a bootable recovery disk? They didn't give me one with this.
Right. No, there. If you go to the Microsoft website, there is, matter of fact, I'll look it up. There's a whole sheet on how to make a bootable floppy for Windows XP.
Oh, okay.
I want to say it's bootdisk.com. Hold on.
Let's see if I can find it on their net, and we'll put it on the fact list.
Yeah, we can put it on the list there, but there is, there's a whole detailed sheet that'll teach you how to...
bootdisk.com.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, there you go. And we'll have it on our website shortly. Steve's doing that even as we speak. I believe we have time to take Rich from Rochester. Welcome, Rich. What's your question?
Hi, how you doing? I love your show.
Thank you so much.
Hey, I've got a quick question. I have Norton Antivirus 2002, I think it is, and I use Outlook Express primarily for my email. The problem I have is that lately I've been getting junk mail with viruses in it, and Norton always says that it can't clean it, and it puts it in quarantine. And I've checked with the live update, and I've got all the latest updates, and it's set to grab them automatically because I'm on Roadrunner, and I'm on all the time. But I'm wondering why... so many of these email messages have viruses that it can't clean.
The thing that is, though, is you want to first double-check your Norton to make sure that it is updating. A lot of folks say, it does it automatically. Go into the Norton, start it up, and verify that the definition files, I don't care whether it's McAfee or Norton, are less than 7 days old. You might have the CLES virus. You want to download the CLES utility from Norton and have that clean it up for you.
Okay.
All right. We got to go.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We're going to be back after the news and stuff with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, Steve Ray. Rob Linton is our producer. And you are listening to Soundbites, the greatest computer call-in show ever.
Yeah, that Carol.
When was the last time you had a dining experience that was so exceptional that you had to recommend that restaurant to a friend? Everything was perfect. The food, the atmosphere, the service. Rediscover Warfield's Restaurant. Food and ambiance at its best. Located in historic downtown Clifton Springs, Warfield's offers exquisite food set in an elegant atmosphere with service the way it should be. Warfield's features an imported English pub bar in a private, beautiful banquet setting and a Victorian garden. This weekend, why not treat your whole family to Warfield's famous and superb Sunday brunch? Warfield's has a new lunch menu and is featuring an express lunch buffet Wednesday through Friday for only $6.95. On Wednesday night, enjoy Warfield's all-you-can-eat pasta buffet for only $9.95. And on Thursday, their all-you-can-eat prime rib buffet for only $12.95. Call Warfield's Restaurant for reservations at 315-462-7184. Now under new management, rediscover Warfield's. Visit Warfield's Restaurant in September and receive 15% off your total dining experience.
What I fear about America,
Dr. Laura,
is that we have become so politically correct that if anybody pulls out the word discrimination, tolerance, diversity, you stop thinking and you're protecting America.
Advice for life and a lot of tough love. Dr. Laura. Weekdays 9 to 11 on Wham!
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
This portion of Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet Service, call 262-2485.
Rochester's number one radio station is News Radio 1180 WHAM. This is where you get reliable, dependable news, weather, traffic, and sports, mixed with the best talk in town, with Beth and Chet and the Wham Morning News. Dr. Laura, Bob Lonsberry, Paul Harvey, Rush Limbaugh, the Wham! 5 o'clock News Hour, Bob Matthews and Michael Savage. Make no mistake, Rochester's news leader is News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Hey everybody, this is Wham's nutritionist Liz Bonus, and back by popular demand, we bring you the Lighten Up with Liz newsletter, available in a wide variety of locations in our community.
Be sure to pick up Liz's Lighten Up newsletter, brought to you by Roberts Wesleyan College and Pinnacle Printing. Available at Unity Health Systems Women's Health Services at Wellstream, at the offices of Dr. Louis Catapano, at Brighton Campus Chiropractors, West Henrietta Road, at Fonte Surgical Supply on Portland Avenue, at the Kraft Antique Co-op on Westridge Road, and at Agape Physical Therapy, West Avenue in Brockport.
Rochester's award-winning news team, recognized year after year. News Radio 1180 WHAM Rochester.
CBS News, I'm Tammy McCormick. Hurricane Isidore is a Category 3 storm now with 115-mile-per-hour sustained winds, and Jack Bevan of the National Hurricane Center is keeping an eye on the storm.
It's going to pass close to the north coast of the Yucatan Peninsula here over the next day or two. It may stay offshore and not hit land, but it's going to be close enough that we need to put up a hurricane warning for portions of the coastline.
And now that Isidore is the first major hurricane of the season, some folks in New Orleans say they'll be paying attention to the weather forecast this weekend.
Oh, yeah, I've been watching the TV.
We're going to watch it all weekend, yeah.
I have faith in God. Everything going to be all right.
I'm not that worried about it.
Isidore swept across western Cuba last night, dumping a lot of rain. Severe storm swept through Indiana yesterday, damaging dozens of homes and businesses there. In Indianapolis, WISH-TV reporter Joe Starlin toured a damaged area with the mayor.
The mayor's office has estimated the preliminary damage to be at $30 million, but after surveying it from the air, he said he would be very surprised if that number didn't rise rather quickly.
5 inches of rain fell in the southwestern corner of the state. A woman captured on videotape beating her 4-year-old daughter in an Indiana store parking lot is expected to surrender this afternoon. Attorney Stephen Rosen says Madeline Gorman Toogood is remorseful.
It was a bad choice, and it was captured on a candid camera. And hopefully she'll have the guts and the wherewithal and the intestinal fortitude to look you in the eye and tell you exactly what happened that day and how this happened.
An arrest warrant was issued Friday, charging Toogood with battery to a child. General Tommy Franks paying a visit to U.S. troops in Kuwait today and saying American forces would be ready to go to war with Iraq if called upon.
We're prepared to do whatever we're asked to do.
But he said the president hasn't made a decision to go to war. Mr. Bush has, however, received Pentagon plans for military options should he decide to go that route. Iraq said today it would not go along with a U.N. resolution that would allow for military force. CBS News correspondent Mark Phillips is in Baghdad, where the announcement was broadcast on state-run radio.
The decision is said to have been made by Saddam Hussein himself, and reflects an increasingly strident tone coming from the Iraqi leader ever since he announced last week that he would allow U.N. weapons inspectors back in. Since then, he's hinted that the inspector's access to Iraqi facilities may not be unconditional, as first promised.
The White House says today's announcement comes as no surprise. Yasser Arafat remains holed up in his Ramallah headquarters, what's left of the compound anyway. Israeli forces have destroyed at least three of the buildings there, and last night machine gun fire punched holes in others. Chief Palestinian negotiator Saeb Erekat.
What we're witnessing now is a determination from the Israeli side to get things out of control, Sharon's end game, destroy the peace process.
Israel says it wants the surrender of 20 suspected militants holed up inside that compound. This is CBS News.
Mr. Harris?
Hi. Do you know me?
Well, I thought I did. I thought we had something special.
Oh, my gosh. Andy, my mechanic.
I was your mechanic until you discarded me like a dirty air filter.
Andy, I'm sorry. There's just no reason to see you anymore. I got a new Dodge vehicle with a 7-year or 70,000-mile powertrain limited warranty.
I see.
I've never felt so secure, so complete.
Typical. Just passing time until the right one comes along, is that it?
Andy, you've got to understand. The whole powertrain's covered by this limited warranty. And if any covered part fails, it takes care of towing, too.
You never call. You don't return my email.
It's on all new Dodge, Chrysler, and Jeep vehicles, and it's transferable to anyone. Wait, did you say you emailed me?
I got a little carried away. Maybe I should go.
I think that's best.
The new 770 Powertrain Limited Warranty. We've got you covered. See your dealer for a copy of this limited warranty. A deductible applies. Towing administered by Cross Country Motor Club, Inc. Dodge, Chrysler, and Jeep are registered trademarks of Daimler Chrysler Corporation.
Good afternoon at 104. I'm Rob Linton with the Wham News Update. A Rochester man is in guarded condition this afternoon, recovering from injuries suffered in a shooting. Police say it happened around 10 o'clock last night in the 300 block of Melville Street. 57-year-old Ismail Rucci suffered a gunshot wound to the back of the neck. Rochester's mayor has filed an appeal with the state education department asking to set aside a severance package recently given to former city school superintendent Clifford Janey. Bill Johnson, along with five other people, filed the petition. School board member Bolgan Vargas says it's unfortunate that lots of attention is being placed on this issue and not other problems facing the city school district. A judge will decide by next month what the fate of six terror suspects will be. U.S. Magistrate Kenneth Schroeder Jr. wrapped up a bill hearing in Buffalo yesterday for six area men accused of learning terrorist tactics in an Afghani training camp run by Al-Qaeda. Another court appearance for the Greece man accused of raping girls he met over the internet, James Comfort, in court yesterday for another pretrial hearing. He faces numerous charges in trial for those first set of charges. It's unclear whether charges from a second indictment will be dealt with in that November trial. We'll have a check of radar weather next. Wham News Time 105.
The news you need, the information that's critical. Hear it first, fast and factual. News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Some people dream about riches, romance, adventure. The other night, I dreamed about really big savings on sheets, blankets, comforters, everything I need for the bed, bath, and home. Reduced. Go figure. Well, lo and behold, I wake up and notice my local Land's End Inlet is having a great big home event, September 19th through the 29th. Everything for the bed, bath, and home at 40% off already reduced inlet prices. Bath rugs, bath towels, bedding for kids and adults. You name it, 40% off. And like all Land's End merchandise, all guaranteed. Period. So hey, who says dreams can't come true? Check out all the great bed and bath savings at the Land's End Home Event, September 19th through the 29th, at your nearby Land's End Inlet. So where can you find the Land's End Inlet? In Rochester, off I-390, take Highland Drive exit north to the Land's End Inlet, on the northwest side of Marketplace Mall.
If it's been 3,000 miles since you've changed your oil, then you need to do it now. Protect your engine and get to AutoZone today. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
WHAM is the radar weather forecast for Rochester and west of New York. A few scattered showers still around for a while this afternoon, but they will be diminishing and some breaks in the clouds may develop later in the day. High temperatures mid and perhaps the upper 70s, and tonight it'll be partly cloudy. The lows will be about 60. Tomorrow partly sunny, but look for more clouds in the afternoon and maybe a late day shower. The highs in the mid-70s. A couple of showers tomorrow evening, then becoming partly cloudy overnight, lows in the low and mid-50s, so cooler, and a partly sunny and cooler day Monday with highs 65 to 70. This is WHAM meteorologist Ken McKinley.
Rochester radar from News Source 13 not showing any precipitation. Right now downtown, high clouds and 76 degrees. More sound bites up next. I'm Rob Linton on Rochester's news leader, News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Before we go back to the phones, which we will do momentarily, we do want to mention a couple of things going on the Soundbites website. If you go to soundbites.org, you will see that we do have a weekly poll that we do. Last week's poll was about Linux, the operating system Linux. 283 of you answered that poll. We want to thank each and every one of you. That makes it the 12th most popular poll in Soundbites history. Of the 283 of you, 37% never played with it but would like to. 16% of you said Lin Hu. 14% dismissed it as a plaything for technoids. 11% of you have dabbled in it. For 10% of you, 28 votes, it's my main desktop. 9% of you like it, but it's not your main desktop, and 3% of you only use it for servers. This week's poll is a little bit different.
What if I use a Linux variant called Unix?
then get over it.
Get a life.
That's the Lin Hu people, because we already know. If you are this week's poll from Gulfman, one of the guys on our Soundbites website, our forum board, the question is, what's your main computer? Is it a desktop, a laptop, a sub notebook, or other? And so far we have 59 votes. And top one so far, no surprise here, desktop, followed by laptop, other, and nobody has one of those sub notebooks. Once you're done with that, head on over to the Ask Nick website and give us your opinion on this week's poll. So far we have seven people in the opinion. Join us in the forums at soundbites.org. You'll find a link to that. If you scroll down, there's an amazing amount of stuff on a page. There's our guest book. You can buy stuff at the Soundbite store. There's a link to the archive server. We even have a continuous stream of the old shows, so you can just play us in the background 24/7. Can you imagine the excitement of that?
But the other thing they've got to do is a quick rush to our store. Order your Soundbites paraphernalia, because we want to remind you folks, October 2nd, they're letting us out of the studio. We're going to be over at the Holodome, which is the Holiday Inn over on Jefferson Road and East Henrietta Road. We're going to be there from 6:30 to 8:30.
That's p.m.
P.m., yes, in the evening. So,
What else would there be?
You're right. You're geeks. Well, we see 6:30 in the morning, but that's as we're going to bed.
Yeah, really. And so save that date. You'll be hearing more about it.
Week through on WHAM, actually.
We're going to have various vendors there. We're going to be there taking computer questions and answers. So save the date.
There'll be food, so you got to come down. And if you bring an item that you got from the Soundbite store, we will sign it.
There's still time.
There's still time to get it and bring it down. And if you don't have anything from the Soundbite store, bring a 20. We'll sign it, but we'll keep it. But we will sign it, and I think that's the important part. We're going
to
go back.
Well, hang on. I wanted to mention to our previous caller about the Norton antivirus. One of the issues is the confusion over what repair means. Repair means to remove the virus and give you the document back. If the entire document is a virus, it cannot be repaired.
Right.
And that's why you see a lot of those unrepairable things in your quarantine.
Just delete everything in the quarantine.
Right. It's the whole thing is a virus. There's nothing to repair. Just delete it.
Okie doke. Thanks. Our next caller is Ray from Caledonia, New York. Welcome, Ray. What's your question?
My question is, I have a printing problem right now, and when you set up so many pages to print and so on, and it starts printing, and it may print the first page, and it will maybe go just halfway on that first page, and then if you set up 10 copies, it will spit out 10 blank sheets. It's
what else are you using?
What's that?
What operating system are you using?
One that you love, ME.
Stop! Stop! Okay, we've taken Dave's microphone away from him, so you may continue safely. Although Dave is beginning to froth at the mouth and quiver as he lies on the floor. And
my next question would be: I still have a computer, a program to remove ME. Would you recommend?
Stop it!
This is one of Dave's specific reasons why he doesn't like ME, is the lack of drivers for peripherals.
Right.
Okay. What brand printer do you have?
I have an HP 1120C.
And have you gone to HP's website and see if they have a driver specifically for ME?
No, they don't.
And that's the
this
problem.
This is what I'm finding with many things.
Yep.
They have it for everything but what I have.
How fast is your machine?
Not too fast.
He's running at me. How fast can it be?
It's 450.
450 is okay.
Yeah.
How much memory do you have?
On a hard drive?
No, in RAM, I'm sorry.
Oh, RAM, I have 256, I think.
You could run Windows XP. It will run at about the same speed as Windows ME does, but it will be much more stable. You will find drivers for many, many things you cannot run correctly now.
Well, except for the DeskJet 1120C.
But
they don't have an XP driver either.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I'll tell you my problem with XP is that I have too many peripherals here for graphics that XP will not accept.
Right, then you need to go back to 98.
Windows 98 Second Edition, Ray, is what I would recommend.
Well, that's what I updated from.
And the reason you updated was?
To find something new, I guess.
Yeah. Because Bill Gates told you to.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got some swampland to buy, too.
Yeah, I would suggest that in your particular case, particularly if you don't have drivers for your peripheral devices, you need to go back to 98SE and load all those drivers.
As fast as you can.
Because you need to go there fast because they're going to stop supporting 98SE.
As of the end of the year.
And at some point, you're going to have to go to XP. They're not supporting anything but XP in 2000.
Okay.
Starting about the middle of next year, but you'll have plenty of time with 98 where you can still get support, and you've got the drivers and things for it.
Yeah. Well, this is what I'm finding, and there's too many things that will not support MEs.
That's been one of my biggest gripes, Ray.
Yeah.
Is here they roll out an operating system, and oh by the way, you can't even find it in any of the stores. You can still find 98, you can still find 2000, and of course XP.
Well, it is getting hard to find 98.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Right from the get go, it was never supported. A lot of engineers and other companies said, well, wait a minute. He's bringing out 2000. Why should we waste the effort in writing something that's not even going to be around? So that was the sudden death of that operating system anyways.
You're right.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
Thank you very much,
mm-hmm.
Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Our next caller, Joyce from Spencerport. Welcome, Joyce. What's your question?
Hi. Well, I have three quick ones.
Okay.
First one, when you upgrade, do you have to do any backup or do you just automatically upgrade?
Always backup. Well, it never hurts to back up.
Well, right. In case something goes wrong with the upgrade, you want to have your old stuff still around.
It depends on when you mentioned upgrading. The only reason I said it depends is if I'm upgrading the OS and I've got documents or some other data, you usually don't have the operating system updates don't bother any of your other data.
Right.
Okay.
But you want to have it backed up just in case there's a glitch and the drive dies or whatever,
CYA.
And you have to reinstall.
Okay.
Always back up. You should always back up your data anyway, but not your programs, just your data.
Just the data. Okay, now, should I upgrade? I'm at 95. Should I upgrade to 2000 or XP or 98 Second Edition or what?
What type of machine do you have?
I have a Toshiba laptop.
What speed? How much memory?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
It came with 95, it probably can't handle XP.
Okay. And it might be able to handle...
You can't handle XP. Oh, sorry.
It might be able to handle 98.
Okay.
But I can almost guarantee if you're running, like Steve said, 95, one, you won't have the disk space in that old of a laptop to even consider putting 2000 on or even
in fact, the XP will not update a Windows 95 machine. You have to do a clean install.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if you want to do an update, go to 98SE.
And the other thing is to look at why you want to update. If everything's working for you now and you're not buying a program that requires a newer operating system, you're usually better off sticking with what you have.
Okay.
Although I have to admit that I would prefer to see you on 98 SE than on 95.
Okay.
It's just the better.
Now, and you keep talking about safe mode. How do you get there, and what do you use it for?
Hit the
It's a diagnostic recovery mode if something goes horribly wrong with Windows.
Okay.
You get there when something went wrong. You can force yourself to get there by hitting the F8 key when you start Windows, and that brings up a little menu, and one of the options is safe mode.
Okay.
Basically, it's a way of running Windows without loading any of the extra drivers for, like, your printer, your CD player, things like that, so you can fix whatever went wrong.
Okay.
And so most of the time, you don't need to run it.
Okay. Well, I heard you refer to it all the time, and I thought, well, how the heck do you get there?
Right. It's a repair thing, and when you boot up the machine, if while it says loading Windows 95, you keep tapping the F8 key, eventually you will see this menu, one choice of which is safe mode.
Okay. And the third and last question, when I try to upgrade my McAfee virus and I go in, it says last upgrade unknown. And yet I have tried to do it, and both with the Internet, you know, on the Internet and just by my icon.
What version of McAfee are you running? Is it version 4?
No, it's 5.5.
5.5. Okay, 5.5 should be able to handle the updates, but the other clincher is if you haven't updated and you've gotten an email, you could very well be infected with the CLES virus.
Which prevents McAfee from working.
From doing any of the updates. So what you might want to do is if you go to our website, soundbitestore.org, we've got a link to the CLES utility that you want to download that. And again, in safe mode, so here's your chance to use safe mode. Start the machine up in safe mode and run the CLES utility from there.
From the safe mode?
From safe mode. Once it boots up into Windows, it'll say in the four corners, safe mode. Find that CLES utility program.
First, you have to download it.
Yeah, and then run it.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Our next caller is Eric Menden. Welcome, Eric. What's your question?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. I have a Dell laptop. I run Windows XP, and a few days back, you know, I got the advisory that there were critical updates available, and I went and I downloaded this SP1, this security pack or whatever it's called.
Right.
And after I downloaded that, when I go into Outlook Express to download email, I can't switch identities anymore. In other words, I have four identities, and no matter which one I click on, the main identity always comes up, and I can't get to the other identities any longer, and it happened immediately after I downloaded that upgrade or that pack.
You know, I hate to say this, I'm beginning to hear more and more and more problems with Service Pack 1.
It didn't fix problems, it's just creating more.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have an easy answer for you, except at this point to reinstall Outlook Express. Now, the problem is going to be your mail. The theory is if you indeed just upgrade OE over itself, you install OE over itself, it'll say, oh, you've already got mail here. Do you want to keep it? You say yes, and it keeps it. I won't promise that's going to happen.
Right.
But that's what's supposed to happen. I wish I had a better answer for you, but Service Pack 1 is so new, and Microsoft is so close-mouthed about problems, we haven't heard any fixes for things yet.
There is a specific fix for this problem in their knowledge base, yes.
Excellent!
I just found it. The article number will be posted on our fact list.
Great. So what you can do is go to the Soundbites website.
Right. The basically is to go into your Manage Identities and uncheck the Use This Identity when starting up.
Okay, so it's on the Soundbite website?
Yep.
You go to the Soundbite website, down at the lower right, you'll see a list of all the things that we have, and you can put it right on the main list or in the
in
the fact list. So if you click on the I heard a website on this show, you'll get there.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton on the buttons, and me, the professional radio announcer, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Tired of constantly having your computer lock up on you? Have you experienced the infamous blue screen of death? Or is your computer just running too hot? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need FrozenCPU.com. FrozenCPU.com, a local internet-based company specializing in customized PC cases and products for cooling your overheated computers. FrozenCPU.com, considered by many the mecca for modified cases and cooling products. They have a huge selection of some of the premium cases available, ranging from Cooler Master and Li & Li to their famous Blizzard system, as well as cutting-edge Coolant's water-cooled cases. FrozenCPU.com cases start at only $99. Including a 350-watt power supply. In addition to being your case headquarters, FrozenCPU.com also specializes in cooling your overheated computer. They carry top-of-the-line heat sinks like Thermalright, Alpha, SwiftTech, and all the fans you could ask for. FrozenCPU.com, your case and cooling system headquarters. Call Frozen CPU at 1-877-243-8266.
This is Willie Works.
Hello.
Back to answer all your laundry questions, like how to get out those tough embedded odors.
Like when your husband comes back from the plant, woo, smelling like he brought the whole place home.
Or when one of the cows escapes and you have to wrestle it to the ground.
Uh-huh.
What? I think that's a good one.
They're all good ones. And I have the solution. Febreze for the wash.
Ooh.
Just add a capful with your detergent and odors disappear.
Wow. One capful is all it takes?
Yep. Febreze for the wash. One cap, one wash.
And say goodbye to odors.
Another lending success story from LendingTree.
I'm sure my bank would have given me a good mortgage, but I went to LendingTree instead. I filled out one simple form and got four offers back within hours. After all, having a good offer is good. But getting a better offer is better.
Visit LendingTree.com or call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree. Equal housing opportunity. For additional information and state license disclosures, please visit our website located at LendingTree.com.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show. It's brought to you by the Alleman K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services. Computer talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Yes. Yes, I am Nick Francesco.
And I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Wright.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Our next caller, the lucky caller, is Pat from Ontario, New York. New York?
Hi, guys.
Ontario, New York?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah. Yes.
Hi, guys.
How are
you?
Great show.
Thank you.
Hey, I found an old Macintosh Performer 630 CD. I bought it for $1 at a garage sale. Some of the programs are on it, a lot of programs ain't. And I was wondering, how do you get into the settings on a Mac? They got to be different from a regular PC.
Conceptually, they're the same. You go to the Apple menu and open the Control Panels folder. And all the different settings are in Control Panels.
Okay.
Each, you know, the monitor setting, the sound setting, the startup setting, they're all listed as different modules in Control Panels.
Yeah, the reality is that nowadays, whether you're running a Mac or a PC...
Hello, you're right?
You're still at the garage sale.
Ice cream, man.
Yeah, apparently, just loaded into the trunk and thought he'd call before he took it home. Or have you paid for it yet, or are you still standing on the lawn?
No.
Maybe they're listening to Soundbites also going by.
They want it back now because I got it fixed.
Yeah, right. No, I don't know if I want it. Let me call the Soundbites guys and ask them. Nowadays, whether you're running a PC or a Mac or a Linux box or whatever, the conceptual where things are is pretty much the same. How you get to them may be a little different, but they all have control panels, they all have start menus, so it's pretty much similar across the board now. They all use folders and all that stuff.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of, you know, when you get it home, it's going to look real different, and at first you're going to feel grotesquely stupid because things aren't where you think they are.
Right.
But it just read each of the menus, and you'll find everything. It'll all be there.
Well, what are the keys that you use to get into setup? I mean, like in PC, sometimes you would use a DAO. Or
the BIOS setup.
Yeah.
There is no BIOS setup on the Mac.
You have to be able to boot it.
Uh-huh.
And once you do... Well, there are a couple of things you can do. During boot, there's a command sequence that will prevent it from loading any of the control.
Right.
Hold down the shift key while it's booting, and it turns off any of the extra system extensions.
Okay. System extensions are like the little programs that you run in the background on
a PC.
It's
like Windows doing safe mode.
Right.
Okay.
And once you're in it, one of the control panel choices is you can go in and look at the battery and all that stuff. Where's that? What's that called?
Well, there isn't one specifically for the battery. Well, you look at your date and time and see if the date and time are set right.
Right. So you can do those sorts of things, and it's just a matter of playing around and seeing what all your options are.
Yeah, all the setup you have to do in a PC BIOS is done automatically on a Mac when you turn the machine on. It auto-discovers all your hard drives and all your devices and your peripherals for you.
Oh, okay. All right, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right.
Very exciting, a brand-new Macintosh user. Our next caller, Kim from Honeyoy. Welcome, Kim.
Hi, Nick.
How are you?
Good.
Is that Honeyoy or Honeyoy Falls?
Honeyoy.
Ah.
On the lake.
Ooh.
I have...
yeah, it's amazing how far apart Honeyoy and Honeyoy Falls are. Yeah.
Well, the lake feeds the falls.
Right.
You realize that things flow north from this part of the world.
That's exactly right. We are one of only two rivers in North America that flow north.
Yeah.
The other one being the Mississippi. Believe it or not, for the first 5 miles of its length.
Wow, and, I didn't know that.
Yes, go ahead, Kim.
You and trivia have always been wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Here's what my problem is. We have, our main computer is running Windows ME. Yeah, I know. And as soon as I can...
throw it into the lake.
Oh, afford to change it, I will. But anyway,
well, machines
in the meantime,
that
I'm stuck with it.
Machines that come with ME are fine, as long as you don't buy any other peripherals.
Yeah,
exactly. We also were running AOL version 7.0, and a couple of days ago, AOL pushed a patch or fix through on an automatic, and suddenly I can no longer hit the internet through the AOL software. Now, we use Roadrunner down here because it just is a lot easier on everybody, and I can hit the internet just fine if I just use my Internet Explorer. But I have a spouse who really likes his AOL.
Yeah, right.
He's not real happy right now.
Right.
And I have spent days talking to AOL and Microsoft and Compaq, who's the manufacturer. Mm-hmm. Nobody can figure out what the hay is going on.
The theory here is that there are two ways AOL can connect to the internet. It can control the connection, or it can use an already existing connection.
Okay.
The way you were doing it, it was using an already existing connection.
Okay.
I'll bet after the update, it's set to use its own connection. Now, frankly, I would think that the folks at AOL Customer Service would get that. And
I've been all the way up to Tier 3.
Yeah.
They say they've got software engineers working on this, but it seems to me like it's just like this.
It could be a problem in the system.
Okay.
But the theory is you should be able to go into where you set up. You run AOL. You know where this is.
Yeah. On the main sign-up screen, there's a location tab. Most of the time, you set up locations for different phone numbers you want to dial into.
Right.
From different cities.
We just tell it that we use the TCP IP.
Right. One location is TCP.
And that still doesn't work?
No.
Yeah, see, what it is they don't want to admit that their patch messed up her machine, because then they're going to be liable, which now they're trying to do another patch to correct the patch that didn't work.
You might want to uninstall and reinstall AOL.
Oh, I've tried that, too.
Yeah, but it's still...
I mean, I've uninstalled every version AOL. I went all the way back and put AOL 5NT on it.
But see,
and
the thing
is, there's a command. As soon as it went back up to 7, it was a disaster.
But the thing is, though, Kim, just 1 second. See, when you uninstall it, if you do a search in AOL for AOL in your regedit, you will find it in there all over the place, and you got to delete every little key.
There's also the AOL adapters that has to load.
I killed the AOL adapters. In fact, I killed every connection and every adapter, all the TCP IPs and all of the connectors and the rest of that. Killed all of those.
It sounds like you did all the right stuff, Kim. It sounds like it's not your problem, but AOL's, and I don't have an instant answer for you, but we will look into it more. But right now, I'm afraid we have to take a break. We'll look into it. We'll also continue to check the boards and see what comes throughout the week. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, Rob, me, Nick, and you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Hi, this is Joanne.
And Steve from the historic Phelps Hotel Restaurant. We've been talking so much about our great food that we haven't even mentioned the fact that we also have a great party facility.
Whether you're planning a wedding, rehearsal dinner, anniversary party, retirement party, shower, you name it, we do it. We have two elegant, beautifully decorated private party rooms, and of course, we offer a wonderful selection of meals for either sit-down or buffet-style serving, complete with hors d'oeuvre choices and a stunning array of decadent desserts, all made fresh by our own chef, Peter.
There's no better way to make your special occasion memorable than to have it in the casual yet elegant ambiance of the historic Phelps Hotel Restaurant. It's an easy drive from Rochester, and we'll make it well worth the trip.
Just call 315-548-5200, and we'll be happy to mail or fax you our party menus. Plan your next social gathering at the historic Phelps Hotel Restaurant. Call 315-548-5200 for more information.
Hi, I'm Jeff Least, president of MicroWorks Computers, where our motto is old-fashioned service for a high-tech world. Old-fashioned in the way we greet you and how a live person answers your call. Old-fashioned by having long-term, knowledgeable employees who won't talk over your head. Old-fashioned by realizing that we need to exceed your expectations every time you do business with us. Judging from our repeat and referral customers during our 8 years in business, I think we've been successful in meeting those goals and growing into a multi-million dollar company. MicroWorks offers a large selection of in-stock parts, including Rochester's largest supply of cables and hard-to-find parts. We custom build systems, servers, and bare bones for business and home. We offer repairs including notebook repairs, virus removal, and data recovery. And we have outside technicians for network administration and other repairs. So give us a call at 271-0050 or stop by our stores at 793 South Goodman Street or our new location in the Winjeff Plaza at 3259 Winton Road South, or see us on the web at microworks.com.
Is it true that new longer-lasting Wrigley mint gum is so good you won't want to chew on anything else? To find out, we took Dolph from the mailroom,
yeah,
put him in pants made of redwood,
what? Ouch.
And unleashed a boxcar full of crazed beavers.
This is so uncool.
Now let's toss out some new Wrigley spearmint gum and see which one the beavers chew on. Amazing. The beavers have chosen new Wrigley spearmint. Aren't they happy?
Rock on, beavers.
And when beavers are happy, they build things.
Uh-oh.
New longer-lasting Wrigley spearmint gum. So good you won't want to chew on anything else.
It's true. Smart Balance buttery spread won a gold medal for great taste. That's part of the story. Smart Balance is not hydrogenated and has no trans fatty acids. That's important. I'm Barb Harris to tell you that it is the only spread made with a patented balance of natural vegetable oils to help improve the important HDL good cholesterol and the cholesterol ratio. Check it out at smartbalance.com. Smart Balance Buttery Spread has a perfect balance for health. That's the story.
Would rather do their show in a chat room. It's Sound Bites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Hi, I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Wright.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites, and we are talking to Jim from Manchester, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
No, I don't have a question. I got a little fix for the guy with his email problems.
Oh, I love this.
Go.
Two things. First, brings up the Norton screen, and then on top, on the right, it says options. Go down to antivirus, and instead of having the pane where it says to fix it, change that to delete it. That'll help part of the problem.
That's the way it should be set for everybody. That should be the default.
Well, it says on the Norton screen, recommended to fix it.
Well, because sometimes you can get a legitimate message that has a virus attached to it. In that case, you want to repair it to get rid of the virus, but not delete the whole message.
Yeah, well, he can also set it so it can ask him a question if he wants to do it or not.
Right,
you have
right.
to get into that screen first.
Right. See, I like playing I like playing it safe. I just say delete it. If anybody wants to resend me that email, let them, minus the virus.
Right. If you sent me a virus, I don't want to answer your email anyway.
Right. Well, the other thing you can do, I forget if it go to Outlook Express. I don't know if it's in the tools or the view. I'm not sure which one it is, but you want to get into the message rules.
Yep.
And you can set the message rules for certain words or whatever and have it deleted at the server.
Right,
you'll
exactly.
never see them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Jim, thank you. That is this is my favorite part of the show when people call in to help each other. So, Rich, if you're still listening, you can thank Jim.
What do you mean, if? He is still listening.
While you're still listening, what you guys need to do is both come to the road show on October 2nd. One of you wears a big sign that says, I'm rich. The other one wears a big sign that says, I'm Jim. And then the two of you can meet, and Rich can thank Jim.
Right,
thank you, Jim.
I got a question for you real quick.
Yeah.
Where is the screensavers located? And when you search through Explore Windows?
Yeah.
Where are they located?
They are in...
I can load a screensaver on. I put it on a C drive, but I don't know where to put it. I can't find them.
In the Windows directory. They're the files that end in .scr.
Yeah.
Which is why a lot of viruses are .scr, because they masquerade as screensavers.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I did the search for .scr, and it comes up with only the one I put on. It doesn't come up with all the rest of that come with Windows.
They may be hidden.
What version of Windows are you running?
2000 Pro.
Yeah, Windows 2000 Pro by default doesn't give you stuff that it thinks you shouldn't be playing with. So, for example, if you open up the Windows folder, it'll say, yeah, nothing to see here unless you click this button. So,
I got it set up so it shows me all the hidden files, and it still don't show
it. But that's where they are kept. So you'll want to check that out again, because that's where they're kept, in the Windows directory.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Our next caller is Gary from Rochester. Welcome, Gary. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Good show.
Thank you.
Hey, I've been listening to you for a number of years. I took your advice a couple weeks ago and switched from ME to XP.
What took you so long?
Oh, I'm just a tech guy. however, I'm trying to... I use... the CDRW to back up a lot of my equipment, and I find out that Directed CD does not work with XP.
You've got to get the updates for it.
I just went on the site, and they want $80.
Well, part of the problem is that Windows XP comes with a version of Direct CD that conflicts with a retail version that you may have purchased.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So if you uninstall the version you purchased, the version built into XP may work.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I didn't purchase it. It came with the drive.
Right.
But so that I do have to then
try that.
When I first put XP on there, it wouldn't even read the disk that I had put information on.
Yeah, because it says it's totally incompatible or hasn't certified by Windows XP.
And then I downloaded the drivers, and then it just said it wouldn't activate them.
It's well worth buying the upgrade, believe it or not.
It is. So.
Yes, and I would highly recommend it, sir. It'll run smooth for you and. You won't be unhappy with it.
Okay, so Directed CD then is a good unit?
Mm-hmm. CD is a good product.
The one problem with it is you can't give disks to anyone unless they already have Direct CD. The packet writing software doesn't work to let you see disks on other computers that don't have it installed.
Now is there one that's more compatible? Because I do switch picture disks.
If you want to burn CDs, the popular ones right now are Easy Creator and Nero.
Well, there's a couple of things you need to look at here. If you're burning a CD to hand to somebody else, and you're only burning it once, then you don't need the packet writing software. You check the no multi-session or close the disk when you're done. They have different names, but what it means is I only want to write this disk once.
Okay.
That should be then compatible with anybody's CD writer or reader.
All right.
It's only when you're doing a multi-session CD or a packet writing CD, you know, when you want to be able to remove files from it again, or you want to put some on now and some later, that you run into this
CDRW
problem. Right, or you're doing a CDRW. But if you're doing standard CDRs and you only are writing them once, make sure that you close the session. There's usually a checkbox, close the session when you're finished, and no multi-session.
All right.
Okey-doke.
Okay, good enough, guys. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Our next caller is Pete. Slowly we turn to Pete at Honey Eye Falls, New York. Welcome, Pete. What's your question?
I've got a slight problem with Windows Office and Windows and running both XP and 98, either one.
98 Office and 98 XP?
Windows Office 97.
Office 97 on Windows 98, and Office what on XP?
Well, the same. I have both operating systems, and I'll run 97 on either one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Problem is, somehow or other, Word got messed up. I'm trying to reinstall from my CD, mm-hmm. and I get this message that says OLEMSG.DLL, unable to register. And I've tried this on a clean disk, by the way. I got myself another hard drive and put 98 in there because of another program that I had that wouldn't run on XP. And basically, I can't reinstall my Office.
There were several service packs for Office 97, but one of the big problems is they don't support it anymore because Office 2002 is out.
That's right.
And Office XP.
Well, which is, you know, some documents refer to it as Office XP or some as Office 2002.
Right. The one thing is when you put your CD in, it should give you the option to do a repair. Have you seen that?
Okay, I'll look.
When you put the CD in, matter of fact, you can go into add remove programs. I'm assuming this is either under 98 or XP, either or. And you say remove, and it'll ask you for the CD. You put the CD in for Windows 97. It'll come up, and it gives you Office 97. It'll give you the three options. One is to do an install. The other is do a repair.
Hold on. There's actually something in the Microsoft knowledge base about this one. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
It appears that this happens when you are running other memory.
Say it again.
Other memory resident program. I'm catching it from Rob, whatever it is he's got.
It looks good, Gal. You'd be dead.
Goodness, everybody step back because you don't want to be in the blast zone.
He's going to shut your mic down.
Other memory resident programs or antivirus programs while you're installing Office.
Okay.
This can happen. There are a couple of things you can do. Of course, you can stop running all those programs and then do the install. You can open the win.ini file and make sure that those programs are not loading anything by putting a semicolon in front of any line that starts run equals or load equals. Then, once you've shut everything, reboot, and you might want to just reboot in safe mode.
Uh-huh.
But in safe mode, you won't see the CD, so you have to copy the installation files to the hard drive.
That's right.
Right. So you want to do that. If it still doesn't work, then you need to go into your display settings and change your video driver to the standard VGA and then do the install. But try those things one at a time. Stop running your antivirus and other memory resident programs. Try the install.
Okay. Good enough.
Okie doke.
I'll give it a try and harass you guys if it doesn't work.
Perfect. Thanks. We're going to take a quick break just so we can all hide from Rob. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with more of Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
For all your computer needs, call Green Shield Computer Services toll-free at 1-800-544-9580. Located in Rochester at 1370 Hudson Avenue, just south of Route 104, Green Shield is a full-service computer firm that's been helping individuals and businesses since 1984. They'll build, install, maintain, network both home and work computers. Green Shield is open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 till 4. So, yeah, call them right now. That's right now at 1-800-544-9580. Green Shield can also provide your website development, hosting, email, and domain name registration. And Green Shield is an approved Corel business education, government, and legal partner. Call them right now, toll free at 1-800-544-9580. That's 1-800-544-9580. Or you can send them an email to computers@greenshield.net. Remember the name, Green Shield Computer Services, part of the Green Shield Group, established in 1967.
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
Sunday night on A&E. One man's dreams control our destiny.
He's afraid to dream, George.
I dreamed that she was in a car crash, and she was.
But who controls his dreams?
I think you're using me.
Don't fight me now.
James Caan, Lucas Haas, Lisa Bonet.
How do you know these things about me, Mr. Ori?
An A&E original movie, Lathe of Heaven. Be careful what you dream.
I think about killing myself to stop it happening.
It will come true. Lathe of Heaven, Sunday night at 8, 7 Central on A&E.
We've got a whole new quality look for the quality chicken you love.
Now it's easier than ever to find all your favorite Tyson products in fresh new red packaging. Look for the easy-to-read icons that tell you at a glance exactly what kind of chicken you're buying and how best to prepare it. Like the microwave symbol for Tyson chicken that's ready in a snap for families on the go. It's all new bold red packaging from your favorite chicken. That's something you can sink your teeth into. Tyson. It's what your family deserves.
This portion of Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet Service, call 262-2485.
When you think of Girl Scouts, you think of fun, friendship, and the power of girls together, enriching experiences that build leaders one girl at a time. The Girl Scouts of Genesee Valley are looking for volunteers who would like to participate in Girl Scouting. Volunteers whose commitment today will impact the women of tomorrow. If you are over 18 and want to make a difference, the Girl Scouts want you. Girl Scout leadership is open to all adults. Your skills, hobbies, and interests will help girls grow strong. And if you were a Girl Scout when you were young, you understand the importance of your contribution of time. Come and join the fun. Call the Girl Scouts of the Genesee Valley at 585-292-5160. That's 585-292-5160. We have volunteer opportunities near you in the city, suburban, and rural areas. Girl Scouts of Genesee Valley, 585-292-5160. We're for every girl, everywhere.
To America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Yes, I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Wright.
Go ahead, Rob. Rob Linton is on the buttons. And before we go any farther, I have to apologize to Kim, who will probably stop being one of my groupies. Dave went out on the internet. Steve went out on the internet. I hate the internet. And found 30 rivers that flow north in North America.
And put it on our FAQ.
And it's on our FAQ list, so you can see how little I actually know. We're now going to talk to Rob in Henrietta.
Well, it is unusual. We live near three of them.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. And we're going to talk to Rob in Henrietta. Welcome, Rob. What's your question?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm having a problem with EasyCD Creator.
Uh-huh.
I've got a dual boot system, and it's all SCSI. It's Windows 2000 and Linux. And I don't use Windows all that often, but I was in Windows, and I wanted to copy a CD, which I don't much do anyway. So I started copying the CD, and the little buffer bar down at the bottom started out at 100% and got down to 1. And my burner is a Plexwriter. It's got burn proof, so it kept soldiering on, but it took forever to burn a CD. And somebody said that's because I got 402 version of the Easy CD, which is what came with the burner. So
yeah,
I went out and got Roxio 5, put that on, didn't make any difference, does the same thing. Now, if I create a CD off the hard drive, it works perfect.
What were you doing, copying one CD to another?
Correct.
It may not be your CD software. I have a similar problem, although I use Nero on my Windows 2000 box. On Linux, I don't have a problem, and on XP, I don't have a problem. But on a different box with 2K, I can't burn at the highest speed.
Right.
I have to go down, and I think it has to do with the SCSI drivers, although I haven't really spent a lot of time tracking it down because, you know, instead of 24X, I can only burn a 12X. Well, so what?
Yeah, really.
Well, mine's a 12X to start with.
Right, so you're right. I believe the problem is the SCSI drivers, and until or unless either Microsoft or the motherboard vendor or the SCSI board vendor, depending on whether it was built in or not, come out with updated drivers, there's not a lot you can do about
which
it.
Which they're probably not going to do because they're pushing XP.
Right.
One of the issues is that SCSI can come in synchronous or asynchronous mode for both the drivers and the devices. In synchronous mode, each device runs along at the same speed, at the same rate, and one device has to wait for another one to finish. With asynchronous mode, the device just runs without any interruption from the rest of the system.
Right.
would that be, you know, when you boot up, you get to the configuration utility for the SCSI controller. Is that setting it synchronous or asynchronous in that?
I don't remember offhand if it's a setting you can change. It's built into the device.
Oh, okay.
Like an auto detect.
Yeah, because like Nick said, if I use on the Linux side, my
burner
works perfect.
Yeah, again, it's the drivers on the SCSI side within Windows.
Yeah, it's not your hardware. It's the drivers.
Okay.
So I think it's the drivers setting it into synchronous mode as opposed to the device itself being somewhere that you can't change, because obviously it works under Linux.
Okay, and it's not then the copying software either, so maybe I should go out and look and see if there happens to be new drivers for Windows 2000.
You should do that, and of course, since you're living in Linux anyway, you don't care.
Yeah, I don't do it much. It was just
annoying.
Yeah.
You may also need to find a different SCSI card that might have better drivers.
Right,
but
right.
That's more of an expense.
Right. Yeah. So, if you can find the drivers, you probably win. Otherwise, live in Linux.
Yep. Okay.
Okie doke.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. We have some time left. Let's talk to Donald from Perry. Welcome, Donald. What's your question?
Oh, good afternoon, everybody.
How are you?
Oh, not too bad. I have a possible solution for this one person that uses EasyCD Creator, not this one, but the other one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he were to get a IDE add-on card to put it on a different chain, you might say, you won't have any problem with buffer overrun or anything like that.
Possible, yes.
Oh, yes, that's certainly possible. Mm-hmm.
Or if he had RAID in his computer, some RAID will accept different peripherals. You don't have to use the mirroring or anything else.
Right. That's exactly right.
That's also another possibility.
Yeah. Excellent thoughts. Thank you.
And with a DirectCD, it will be able to read in other computers. It puts a utility called UDF on the computer, so it will read DirectCD CDs.
Right. But he wasn't using the Direct. He was using... not Easy Creator. He was using DirectX.
Direct CD.
Those are great choices.
But thank
Donald.
You very
thank
much.
You.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
UDF is the new universal disk format that most of the OSs are going to.
Right. Our next caller, John from Rochester, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hey, Nick. Great show.
Thank you.
I actually got an easy question for you.
Oh, thank you.
I'm running Windows XP.
Uh-huh.
And you know when you boot up the machine and automatically start certain programs that show up on the right-hand side of the taskbar?
Right.
How do you turn those off if you don't want to? All I want really to run is my antivirus, and that's about it.
MSconfig. If you go down to start, run, type MSconfig, the last tab.
That's all one word, MSConfig.
Okay. And the last tab on that window that opens up is startup. And that lists all the things that are started up when you and put down there in the taskbar.
Now, one word of caution about MSConfig. You can turn off things that will make it impossible to boot.
Yes.
So you want to be a little careful as to what you turn off.
Like
less is more. Right. So what you want to do is, if you don't recognize it, don't turn it off.
Leave it alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So be very careful what you pick where. But once you get a feel for what's there, one of the things that many people do is they take a look at the name of the program that's running, and then they do a search on their hard drive for that program. It will usually tell you where it came from, what folder it's in. So if you find that it's in the AOL folder and you don't want to run AOL, well, then you just stop running it and you're good. You're done.
Right.
But if it's in the Windows folder, don't delete, don't stop it.
Right.
When I don't care whether it looks like something you don't want, if it's in the Windows folder, don't stop it.
Right. Unless, well, I'm talking about like the AOL and the
and
most the radio programs.
Most of those have their own controllers that you should shut them down with.
Right.
Usually in the system tray.
Right.
Yeah, but RealPlayer doesn't. It puts itself in there.
No, RealPlayer will always run. Couple of things you want to make sure are closed down if you've got Real. There's not only the RealPlayer, but also the RealScheduler.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And which goes out and gets updates and strange things.
Right.
The other thing you do want to try before you do anything else is to look in the programs and see if there's a button or a checkbox for run at startup. So you uncheck it, and then that's really safer than just simply turning it off in MSConfig. So try that first.
Great.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we go, I do want to remind everybody about next, not this coming Wednesday, but the following
October
Wednesday.
October 2nd.
October 2nd, we will be at the Holodome with some of our vendors like Green Shield and Maven and
MCC.
Frozen CPU will be there. MCC will be there. And you can finally see the products you've been hearing about on our show. You know, our great sponsors like Frozen CPU, like Green Shield are talking about their products all the time. You don't get to see them, and so this is your chance.
Plus, they get to see us, get their questions answered, and have a lot of
some free
time.
Food and that stuff, and we will sign anything you bring us from the Soundbite
Except
store.
Except blank checks.
Except blank checks. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, who became reticent once again, for being our producer, and we will see you. I'm Nick Francesco. We will see you next Saturday right here at Soundbites on the magnificent 1180 WHAM.
This is Mark Condon of the Horizon Group asking you to join Mike Charlton and me for the Financial Week in Review. We discuss what's happening on Wall Street and take your calls Sunday morning at 7 on 1180 WHAM.
This is a message for George. I'm a spoiled customer of one of the better-known men's stores in New York City. However, I went to Men's Warehouse for the first time recently, and I bought several suits and sport jackets. They were tailored perfectly. My hat is off to you, because the other question mark I had about Men's Warehouse was whether or not the quality was up to some of the better stores in the United States. And I tell you what, there is no doubt you have a new customer in me. Your quality, your cuts, your suits, and the pricing combined with the service, just no wonder you're so successful. But my hat's off to you. There are other retailers in the industry that should learn from you. Congratulations on doing a great job. My hat's off to you.
I take it you like wearing hats, or at least taking them off. You're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it. I'm George Zimmer, founder and CEO of Men's Warehouse.
In Rochester at the Mall at Grease Ridge Center, in Henrietta in Marketplace Mall, and in Victor in the Eastview Mall. Call 1-800-776-SUIT.
Shepherd Ford has been keeping their promises for over 50 years. We offer more than just a lot packed with new and used cars and trucks. Shepherd Ford can offer outstanding rebates and those unbeatable prices you are looking for. But most importantly, Shepherd Ford is known for our personalized attention. We take care of our customers. So when you're ready for great service and great prices, you're ready for Shepherd Ford. Shepherd Ford, 50 years of selling Fords, 50 years of doing it right. Routes 5 and 20 in Canandaigua.
Thank you, Rochester. Thank you for making the Wham Morning News the most listened to morning show in Rochester radio. For the last 7 consecutive years, the Wham Morning News has been number one. Thank you for listening to Beth Adams, Chet Walker, news anchor Bill Lau, meteorologist Kevin Williams, Brad Davies on sports, Gary Smith with traffic, and entertainment critic Bill Klein. The number one rated Wham Morning News, weekday mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Watch it later.